Mark chapter 8, verse 34. We'll look at a message I have entitled Master and Lord. Notice, please, Jesus said, "And when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." If I were to preach the gospel this evening, many of you could say, "Preacher, I have already embraced the gospel." That's why I want to preach a message on the Lordship of Christ. There is a message that needs to be preached to those who are saved, who are born again, who have truly been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ. What is that message? It is the message that Jesus Christ must be Master and Lord of your life. Now, the unsaved crowd need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and respond to it. But the child of God needs to hear the message of the Lordship of Christ and respond to it. He needs to hear the message that Jesus Christ must be Master and Lord of his life. The passage before us is not an evangelistic passage. Jesus is not telling folks how to get saved in this passage of Scripture. Can be saved by self-denial. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Jesus seemed to gather from the crowds those that profess faith in him and said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." What was Jesus saying? He was simply saying this: if you're going to live for God, you need to follow this method. Just as man cannot be saved any way he chooses, the child of God cannot live for the Lord any way he chooses. And that's where many of you folks miss it. You embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and friend, and then you go about doing your own thing. You have the idea that that will satisfy the Lord Jesus Christ. How foolish that is. The Lord Jesus Christ ought not be treated that way. He did not save you merely to forgive you of your sins. He did not save you merely to take you to heaven. He saved you so that you might live for Christ and serve him. He saved you so that you might live for Christ in such a way that he is the Master and Lord of your life. What was Jesus saying? He was simply saying this: once you have believed on me, once you have accepted what I have done for your salvation, once you have embraced the gospel, now you have got to embrace me as Master and Lord of your life. What does it mean to make Jesus Christ Master and Lord of your life? Well, Jesus said, Mark 8, 34, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The word "will" here means to determine to choose. It is the aorist of the Greek language, which means that it is a decision that you make only once. The word "come" is an infinitive, and it means to come. It is literally saying to come and follow. So what is the Bible saying? The Bible is simply saying this: the child of God who wants to make Jesus Christ Master and Lord of his life wills to come. He makes that conscious, deliberate decision to come after Christ and follow him. If I ask you today, have you made that decision to receive Christ as your own personal Savior and friend? Now, many of you can say, "Preacher, I did that. There was a time I realized I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm in need of a Savior, and I can't save myself, and therefore I received the Lord." John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." You can give me a time, you can give me a place, but I wonder, if I ask you today, have you made that once and for all and forever decision to live for Jesus Christ? Could you give me a time? Could you give me a place? Can you give me the event? What took place? You ought to live for Jesus Christ as your Master and Lord, You ought to, because it is simply His right. John 13:13, Jesus said, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." When you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and friend, it became His right by virtue of His redemption to be your Master and Lord. I'm simply saying this. It is sin to embrace Christ and not go on and make Him Master and Lord of your life. It is sin because it is simply His right to be your Master and Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus Christ. I have already made that once and for all and forever decision. I'm going to live for the Son of God. I sin. I make mistakes. I stumble. I fall. I get up. I rededicate my life. But I have already made that once and for all and final decision to follow Jesus Christ. It has affected the way I think. It has affected the way I talk. It has affected everything about me. That explains a lot of things about my life. A lot of things about my life can be explained by the fact of a simple decision on my part in 1987 to follow the Son of God. If you're going to make that once and for all and forever decision to follow Jesus Christ, it involves some things. And this is what we're going to look at. We're going to look at three things in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, Jesus said it involves. Number one, it involves self-denial. Number two, it involves cross-bearing. And then number three, it involves walking with the Lord. Please notice number one. If you are going to follow Jesus Christ, it involves self-denial. Jesus made that very clear in our text, Mark 8:34. Whosoever will determine to choose to come after me, let him deny himself. The word deny means to disown or abstain. In the context, it means to forget oneself or to lose sight of one's own interests. Brethren, I've already made up my mind that I'm going to follow God. Therefore, I have also made up my mind that I am going to deny myself. What was Jesus saying? He was simply saying this. If the child of God wants to come after me, let him surrender his rights to God. That is, his life, his dreams, his plans, his ambitions, his goals. If the child of God wants to come after me, let him surrender his will to God. It's that simple. Brethren, you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ if you are holding on to some things and saying, Lord, you can have everything but this. You are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Luke 14:33, Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. You see, folks, it is self-denial. You must surrender your rights to the rights of your Master and Lord. But what does that mean? It simply means that Jesus Christ must be put first in all things. He must be ahead of your family. He must be ahead of your friends. He must be ahead of your loved ones. He must be ahead of your finances. He must be ahead of your work. He must be ahead of your dreams. He must be ahead of your plans. He must be ahead of your ambitions. He must be ahead of your goals. Colossians 1:18, the Bible says, that in all things he might have the preeminence. John 3:30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Jesus was simply saying this, whosoever wills to come after me, whosoever decides to come after me, that is, whosoever wants to come after me, let him deny himself, period. If you're going to follow Jesus Christ, it involves self-denial. But notice number two, it involves cross-bearing. Because he goes on to say in Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The word take up is a permanent attitude and practice. The cross was an instrument of death. That reference to one taking up his cross meant a lot more to the people in Jesus' day than it does to us today. When a prisoner was crucified by Rome, it was his job to pick up his cross or cross beam and place it on his shoulders and carry it out to the place of execution. When a prisoner picked up his cross, he was as good as dead. All that stood before him was death. He would do absolutely nothing else after he took up his cross. It was his final act. When Jesus said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross," he was making a profound statement. He was simply saying, deny self and die to self. When you make that decision to follow Jesus Christ, you have made the final decision of your life. You need to come to that place in your life today and say something like this: "Lord Jesus, I have decided once and for all and forever that I'm not my own. I belong to you, and I'm going to take up my cross and from this point forward consider self dead. I have no rights of my own. I have no dreams of my own. I have no plans of my own. I have no ambitions of my own. I have no goals of my own. I am a dead man." The Apostle Paul said, Romans 12:1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." And that is what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had made. John chapter 12, verse 24, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You want to bring forth much fruit? Do you want to influence this community for Christ? Or don't you want to do something for God Almighty because He has done so much for you? The only way you're going to accomplish all those things is to die to self. There is no other way. Jesus said, if you die, you'll bring forth much fruit. If you die to your dreams, if you die to your plans, if you die to your ambitions, if you die to your goals, if you will die to the life that you have made for yourself, Jesus said, you'll bring forth much fruit. Now, the cross was not some burden that you bear. It is not some handicap. Oh, it's not some difficulty that you bear. It is total surrender of self. Romans chapter 6, verse 13, the Apostle Paul said, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those of the life from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." You are to die to self. You say, "Now wait just a minute, preacher. Am I to deny all those things that make me happy? Am I to deny all those things that give me joy?" I say yes and no. In all likelihood, all those decent and honorable desires they have are going to have a logical place in the Christian life. Psalms 37, verse 4 and 5. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. As you yield your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly dedicated to God in every single way, so that he is well pleased," those decent and honorable desires you have are usually permitted by the Son of God. However, you must be prepared to lay down all of your dreams at the feet of Jesus Christ. I am an evangelist. I gave my life to the ministry. But I have to lay the ministry down at the feet of Christ and say, "Now, Master and Lord, oh, if you want me out of the ministry, that's your decision. I'll obey." When Norman Stevens decided to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he simply gave up all of his rights. Now, I have the right to all kinds of things, and so do you. But you see, when I decided to make Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Master Lord of my life, I laid all those things down at the feet of Christ. I did not go through them and say, "Well, I'm going to keep this one, and I'm going to give that one up." I didn't do that. You don't do that. You simply lay it down at the feet of Christ and say, "Master and Lord, I forsake all. I forsake all of my dreams. I forsake all of my plans. I forsake all my ambitions. I forsake all my goals. I forsake it all, and I take up my cross and consider myself a dead man." Luke chapter 9, verse 23, the Bible says, "Let him take up his cross daily." When you get out of bed in the morning, you ought to say something like this: "Lord, I'm a dead man. Lord, I'm dead to self. I'm yours today. I have no rights of my own. If nothing good ever happens to me, I deserve nothing but judgment. But I recognize the fact that I am a dead man, and the only reason to inhale and exhale is that I might live for you." Many of you are not prepared to face the reality of all that. Why is that? I'll tell you. You have too many things that you cherish. You want what you want. You want to do what you want to do, and you do not want to do what you do not want to do. Then, my friend, you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. You say, now wait just a minute, preacher. I am born again, and I have been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ. And that may be right. You may have been born again. You may have been cleansed by the shed blood of Christ, but you are not a disciple of Jesus Christ. Luke 14:33, Jesus simply said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Don't you see, folks, the lordship of Christ is as narrow as the gospel itself. Listen, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, it involves self-denial, it involves cross-bearing. But notice number three, it involves walking beside God. Because Jesus goes on to say, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The word follow here literally means come and walk with me. The emphasis on the word is not behind or trailing. The emphasis on the word is come up alongside me and walk with me and fellowship with me. What was Jesus saying? He was simply saying this. Let's walk together today. That is, whosoever wills to come after me, whosoever wills to walk with me, by my side, as my friend, as my companion, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and let him come alongside me and let's fellowship together. Let's walk together. Let's talk together. Do you want to know the joy of the Christian life? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and walk beside God. And as you walk with God, you talk with God, you fellowship with the Lord, you'll say, did not my heart burn within me today as I walked and talked with the Son of God? A vast majority of God's people today don't even know what that's like. They don't know what it is like to walk with the Son of God and have the Son of God talk back to them. It's a wonderful thing to walk and talk and fellowship the Lord and have Him talk back to you through His Word and through the Spirit of God living in you. I'm not trying to take something away from you folks. I'm trying to lead you to something that is wonderful. Deciding to live for Jesus Christ and walk with Him is a path and it requires obedience. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Don't you see? As you walk with God, as you talk with God, you fellowship with the Lord, and as God talks back to you, you are to obey Him. You are to say what He says. You are to bring your life in total submission to Him. And only then will you ever discover what the Christian life is all about. But not every child of God lives this kind of life. Now, why is that? Now, with the time remaining, we're going to look at four reasons why. The child of God will not follow the Lord. First, do you know why some of you will not follow Christ? You are afraid. Jesus said that, Mark chapter 8, verse 45. Notice, please. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Some of you are afraid to live for the Lord. That is, you are afraid that God Almighty is going to mess up your life. You're afraid He's going to send you to Africa, so you have to eat worms the rest of your life. Some of you are afraid. Oh, you're afraid He's going to mess up your life. How foolish you are. How you must anger the God of heaven when you do not allow Him to have complete control, rule, and reign over your life today as a child of God. God knows how to run your life. God was running lives a long time before you got here. He'll be running lives a long time after you're gone. And He's always done a good job. He's never made one mistake. God never fails. Why then don't you trust Him with your life? Lord, if I give my life to you, I'm afraid. I'm afraid you're going to mess it up. I have some things that I want to do. What did Jesus say? Jesus simply said this, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you try to save your own life today by your own dreams, your own plans, by your own ambitions, by your own goals, you're going to lose it for sure. But Jesus goes on to say, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. Second, you know why some of you will not follow the Lord? The rebel. Look at Mark chapter 8, verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
The rebel says, I have some things that I want to accomplish. And I don't want God's way. I certainly don't want God telling me what to do. Let me ask you something. What is the profit of a man who lives for himself? What is the profit 100 years from today? If in getting all that profit, you lose peace, you lose contentment, you lose spiritual blessings, and you lose power with God. What's the profit? Well, don't you see you're in the lost column? Third, you know why some of you will not follow the Lord? You're selfish, Jesus said. Mark chapter 8, verse 37. He said it this way. For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, this is the child of God who says, what's in it for me? Now, listen to me. I am not saying follow Jesus Christ because it will turn out good for you. I believe it will. I believe if you'll make that once and for all and forever decision to follow Jesus Christ, you will find a quality of life that you have never dreamed possible. You ought not give your life to Jesus Christ because there's something good in it for you. You ought to give your life to Jesus Christ because He deserves it. If nothing ever good happened to you, if no joy ever came your way, you ought to live for Jesus Christ and serve Him because He deserves it. The selfish person says, what can I get in exchange for my soul? Jesus said, you're a fool! You have exchanged God's perfect plan. You have forsaken God's will. You have forsaken God's direction to pursue your own dreams, to pursue your own plans, to pursue your own ambitions, to pursue your own goals. You are a fool to exchange what the Son of God has planned for you. Fourth, you know why some of you will not follow Christ? You're ashamed. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my word. This is the child of God who is embarrassed at the prospect of being identified with Jesus Christ, the Word of God. Oh, if I did what Jesus says, I have family and friends who'll laugh at me and they'll call me a fool. And that's the reason why some of you folks tonight will not follow Christ. You're not prepared to make Jesus Christ master and Lord of your lives. That is, you are ashamed to identify with Him, or you are ashamed to identify with His words. That is, you are ashamed to live under the authority of God, under the rule of God, as it is expressed in the Word of God. You like to say, I've got a mind of my own, and I can think for myself. You don't like saying, if the Bible says it, that is exactly what I am going to do. If the Bible says tithe, I'm going to do it. Malachi 3:8, well, a man robbed God. If ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. If the Bible says go to church, I'm going to do it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke and love the good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see today approaching. If the Bible says study, I'll do it. 2 Timothy 2:15, study, show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If the Bible says pray, I'm going to do it. Luke 18:1, Jesus said men ought always to pray and not to faint. If the Bible says witness, I'm going to do it. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's not just a strong suggestion. You see, that's a command. I'm embarrassed. I don't want to go up and tell my family and friends and neighbors and co-workers the Bible says do and I do it, and the Bible says don't do and I don't do. I'm not going to do that. That embarrassed me. And Jesus said, the reason the child of God won't come after me, the reason the child of God won't follow me is that he is embarrassed of me and of my word. Why is it tonight you are not prepared to give your life to Christ? Why is it tonight you're holding back from making that decision? What decision? That once and for all and forever decision that Jesus Christ is master and Lord of your life. He will decide everything about you. He will decide what you will do with your home. He will decide what you'll do with your life. He will decide what you'll do with your marriage. He'll decide what you do with your children. He will decide your vocation. He'll decide your standards. He will decide everything about you, and you will bring your life in total submission to Him. What keeps you from doing that? Is it fear? Are you a rebel? Are you selfish? No, perhaps you are ashamed of the Lord for His word. You need to see Christ taking up His cross. You need to see Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for you. You need to see Jesus Christ tasting death for you. You need to see Jesus Christ taking upon himself your sins and dying in your place. You need to see Christ today and stop fooling around. If that means full-time Christian service, Lord, on some foreign field, I'm out of here. If it means forsaking this pet sin, fine. If it means breaking off this relationship, fine. I have decided once and for all and forever that I am not my own. I belong to another. I belong to the Son of God. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What was Paul saying? He was simply saying this, not my life, not my dream, not my plans, not my ambitions, not my goals. I have decided from this day forward and forever that Jesus Christ is not only my Savior and friend, but he is also Master and Lord of my life. What keeps you from making that decision this evening? Are you afraid God's going to mess up your life? Are you a rebel? Are you selfish? Or perhaps you're ashamed of the Lord? Are you ashamed of his word? Why is it tonight you are not prepared to give your life to Christ? Why is it tonight you're holding back from making that decision?